Anyways, this is Lost in Transition. Welcome. We have Howard here. Hi, hi. Hello, Howard.
Hello.
How is it going?
Fabulous.
Very happy that you're in my show.
Delightful.
Thrilled.
Delightful, yes.
How is it going?
Going more exciting than at any point in my life.
Good.
And I'm in transition.
Good.
I'm finding myself in transition.
Good. You like the name of my show, huh?
That's what dreams are about, is you find yourself by finding your dreams and understanding your dreams. So this title of the show, and life is a transition. Most people think it's a fixed reality. There is no such thing as fixed reality. That's one of the fantasies that we've been taught. So life is in transition, and to be able to go with that is what makes life juicy and interesting, and most of all, creative.
Okay, I totally understand your concept and I agree with it, but I know a lot of people must have this doubt. If you're in transition, are you really enjoying the present moment if you know that you're constantly in transition?
Well, it depends on your mindset.
Let me get this closer.
If you don't, the mind is by intentionality, and that if you don't believe that most people are anxious about change. So the unconscious listens. If you're anxious and you say, your unconscious will show you how anxious the world is. If you say you love transition, it'll start showing you what there is to love about transition. So your mindset, your conscious mindset, determines what you get back from the invisible world of the unconscious. And that's where dreams come from. So the material doesn't have a bias. It's our ego that has the bias that we usually have to get out of the way so that we can enjoy the fertility of the creative unconscious.
So basically, you observe a certain reality that you think you see or you're seeing and when you're awake, and everything stores in your unconscious mind. Is this how it works? And
keep
then
going.
You dream about things that you put there.
And, well, there's a deeper layer. We're born with this architecture of symbolic imagery that's been passed on since the beginning of humanity.
Is that genetics?
It's the image of genetics. So dreams not only deal with the storage, and our conscious life activates these deeper symbols and images that are genetic, that are stored energy patterns that are waiting to be birthed so that we can live them and transition. So it's not just the daylight life. It's actually
things of other life, you mean? What do you mean?
Well, yeah, these archetypes have been around for at least billions of years. They're part of the architecture of what we're born with. It's like a butterfly has what's called creative genes. And so when it's a caterpillar, it's in one stage. But it's actually imaginal genes it has, and it imagines the future. And this imaginal state of evolution is something that we're genetically born with if our conscious mind doesn't block it and goes along with the creativity and not afraid of change. And you're right. Most people are terrified of change.
They're terrified. Like most of the people
terrified.
Are just that they love structure.
Yeah, and so that's what they'll have. They'll have a structured life and they'll be anxious.
They'll be anxious because life is changed. It's permanently changed. And every level, our cells, our hair, our nails.
So, but if a person wants a dogmatic life, their mind can grab onto something that they're, quote, comfortable with and just keep it dogmatic. But their body won't be that way because the body is an evolving energetic chemistry system every moment. So the difference between the conscious mind and the body mind will create emotions, and anxiety is one of the ones that gets created when you have a picture of the world that isn't in alignment with your...
Who you really are.
Exactly.
Okay, let me ask you, I have so many questions as you talk. It's like they're all coming down. Now, let me start with the first one. Did you ever, I hope you did because it's just a great movie. Did you ever see the movie The Matrix?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, do you remember the first one?
I just actually saw the new movie by the same person.
I know, Cloud
Phenomenal.
Atlas.
Oh, my God.
I didn't like that movie, Howard.
Oh.
Come on, you liked Cloud Atlas?
You know what?
I hated it.
I'm going back a second time. I got into the multiple universes.
Listen, I'll tell
that's
you
another,
what.
That's another topic, but yes, I did see The Matrix.
You did see The Matrix. Do you remember the first one?
Yeah.
Okay. Since we're talking about dreams today, I want to focus on this like that people can understand it or see the perspective that I'm looking at. The Matrix has a lot of course, our reality. We live in a system and all that. Mm-hmm. Now, when Neo, which is Keanu Reeves, he's in The Matrix and he's going down, right, to the system and he goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like saying that your reality is your dream.
Mm-hmm.
not the real life that you live when you're awake. Mm-hmm. Now, I always had a doubt with that part of the movie, if I take it down to our reality. What is that really counts? Is it our dreams that really counts and are telling us the truth of who we are and what we want? Is that the truth? Or our truth and our reality is this when we're awake?
It's both and. If okay. you focus on one, you're eliminating part of the other. And if the mind selects something in a black and white way, then you're missing the fullness of the ecosystem of who we are as an evolving cosmos. So I keep trying to work the both and part. So I know I've studied dreams for 40 years. It's been one of my deepest passions. And they're tricky and they're very simple. But it does take a mindset. And this reality, in some traditions, the dream is real, and what we call this reality is actually not real. So certain Buddhist traditions, Eastern traditions, say what we are is the object of our dream, and we think we're real.
Exactly. That's my point. Well,
and mine is that we're both and. We're the subject and the object, and that we are the storyteller, and we are in the story. And so I try to do both and. I try to live the dream and live the story and keep listening to the wisdom of the unconscious. Our conscious mind can process 40 bits of information a second. The unconscious mind can process 40 million bits a second.
Amazing.
I am greedy enough to want to try to get the 40 plus the 40.
Plus the 40 so bits and the megas and all of
you
it.
No, I try not to be prejudiced and say this one's better than that. Because once you make a hierarchical judgment, you're out of the flow. You're out of the dynamics. And we are dynamic evolutionary beings like energy. We are energy machines.
We are. Now, my other question is, which I think I asked you the last time, I remember all of my dreams, almost all of them. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people that they don't remember their dreams. They mm-hmm. always say, I hardly dream. Mm-hmm. What happens with these people? They don't want to see their unconsciousness, or they don't want to mm-hmm. hear the details, or what is that when you don't remember your dreams?
Well, I'm in a period of my life where I haven't remembered dreams for years. And I feel like as I study, I like the material, that right now I'm living my dreams, and that I don't need anything from that part of myself. When I do, it'll show. I try not to be judgmental. When it's there, it's there. I work with it, and when it's not, it's not. And I think that the hardest thing to do with this invisible material, which is most of what life is to not already have a predetermined attitude that it should be different than it is. And not be judging it. If you're not dreaming, hallelujah. If you are dreaming, hallelujah. And whatever it is, if you work with what is and don't eliminate it with a mindset attitude, you're going to get something that's more interesting than what you have if you eliminate it.
Okay, that's the really good answer. Now, do you recommend for people to write their dreams down?
Some people keep dream journals. Some people work them. Some people wake up and dance their dreams. Some people do art. I don't do any of that. Everything is unique. We are totally unique beings, and one of the hardest parts is to have a non-judgmental system and trust what we do and how we do it is how it's supposed to be. And yeah, we can keep making improvements, but if we don't do it, not to be judging that we should do it a certain way. So I've had people type their dreams out, draw pictures, and big dream books. And myself, I just, you know, I work with the imagery right away. If I'm, you know, I like talking about dreams. So when you talk, it is important to talk about a dream with somebody else, because even if the person doesn't know anything about dreams, once you talk about something and you verbalize it to another, because we're mammals, something gets activated that gives us some insight or some energy. So I do think talking about your dreams or writing them can give the associative mind something to play with. So it's the dynamicness of the engagement and a non-judgmental space that makes it more and more interesting to touch these imaginal cells, because we have these cells that have the ability to imagine transformation. And if your dreams are part of that machinery, and if you're living and dancing your dreams awake, you're going to be living with that part also.
Yeah, and what about, this is funny that you say this, because last year before I moved to the U.S., which I didn't know I was going to move here, I dreamt that I was pregnant of 9 months or 7 months or something mm-hmm. like that. And I woke up like, who's the husband? I don't want to be pregnant. What the heck? And I called my sister, mm-hmm. and she said, Cecilia, don't you understand? She said, I didn't have a clue, okay? Mm-hmm. I just told her what I thought,
right,
what I dreamt.
Right, right.
She said, you're going to labor a big project,
right,
she said.
Right.
And she really struck me with that, and it was great that she said yeah. that, because it totally makes sense. 3 months later, I was living here.
Yeah. So you touched a key thing. Dreams are symbolic understandings of reality. And people tend to make them material automatically because we've been biased to believe in matter, not symbols. And the mind is actually a symbol-making machine that creates reality out of symbols. So your sister's wisdom about not materializing it is how we are, and it gets materialized because our dreams act out through us. We cannot understand a dream, we cannot interpret it, and it guides us. We don't guide our dreams.
Yeah,
it guided you here. Thank God for you being here, certainly for me and all your listeners. Really?
That's so sweet of you, Howard. I feel flattered.
Truly, no, your dream had your destiny, as our dreams have the next part of our story. Not the final part, but the next part.
So now I'm dreaming with opera, but a really bad dream. I'm having nightmares with opera, which is really weird.
What opera? Do you remember?
Oprah. I'm sorry,
Winfrey?
I said it wrong.
Oprah Winfrey, huh?
This is my accent. Oprah Winfrey.
Well, that's a dream about this potential in you to be an Oprah Winfrey in the U.S. now that you're here. It's the next stage of the same dream.
But I'm having nightmares with her. Like, what she's saying to me is something awkward in the dream. Not nightmares, but she's saying awkward things to me, like Oprah Winfrey's talking to me.
And can you remember anything awkward?
Yeah, I do. She says she wants to have sex with me in the dream. I'm like,
So you've touched on a really deep topic in women's mythology. Every women's mythology has dual figures in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually organized around two dual structures. One is the mother, and the other is the maiden. The other is the twin sisters. And this is universal. This is dream material. These are symbols.
Good.
And so what your dream is saying, that if you could get out of the awkwardness, you can have this sacred marriage with these
wow.
two sides of yourself, and that will produce another new birth. It's not about sexuality with a woman.
No, I know it's
about
it wasn't
symbol.
That.
It's like not being afraid of this Oprah Winfrey in you and not thinking it's awkward, but to go and join her and not uh-huh. be anxious about this twinning, this part of you that wants to become one, because when you consciously do that, you'll get there quicker.
But, you know, this is the thing, Howard. This is what I understand about dreams. I don't feel anxious about anything
consciously. Have you talked to your agent about your Oprah Winfrey future yet?
I'm myself.
Have you
taken
action?
I don't have an agent.
What? But if you were,
I should get
listening,
one probably after
well,
the show.
Oprah Winfrey's a soul figure.
She is.
She's
and
a
I
soul
admire
figure.
Her. I always watch her. Are you kidding
and,
me?
And you have to, quote, have sex with her for you to join her at the next stage.
Okay, so wait a second, because this is too deep just to talk like this. We got to go to a break. I don't want to be... Where's the music? You were telling me about this dream that I had with Oprah, and you said that probably the dream is teaching you to surrender, actually.
Well, you mentioned earlier in your introduction about conquering your dreams, and there's two attitudes. One is to conquer and one is to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
What most of us have stayed away from doing is surrendering to the unconscious and learning to listen to it. So we think we have to defeat it by our ego mind. But the awkwardness that you're feeling in your ego mind wants you to get out of the awkwardness and celebrate this figure who's giving you this wisdom of the unconscious, because this lunar figure, and some of the other conversations we talked about the solar and the lunar, and the solar is the conscious ordinary mind, very incredible resource when it's not inflated or deflated, and its job is to listen to the lunar, the intuition, the dreamer, the visionary, the musician, the poet, and to take action on the poet's information.
So, okay, I have a question. How do you surrender to your unconsciousness?
Well, one way is you can have an active dialogue with it. You asked about writing. Instead of writing your dream, make it like a script that you're writing for your show. In fact, you might want to do it for one of your next shows, is to write out a dialogue and tell all of us what Oprah is saying to you and how you're going to commit yourself to listening to the Oprah wisdom in you, and you're going to invite your listeners to join in and help participate in this evolution.
Well, you're going to call me crazy, but yesterday I just commented in the show that I wrote a contract with my ego. I said, dear ego, this contract is between you and Cecilia Castelli, blah, blah, blah. I agree with you to live in balance with my soul.
That's probably one of the reasons you had this dream, because your conscious mind brought Oprah as your soul figure, as she is for so many of us, forward. So that conscious dialogue activates the unconscious in a dynamic evolutionary system. And I would keep doing that. I'd say, thank you for coming. And I'm going to now I'm going to listen, and I'm going to write or paint or draw, whatever your art form is, or talk and listen to you. And I'm going to live your wisdom, and I'm going to make an unconditional commitment to listen and take action almost always when it's appropriate.
Wow.
It's, and then so I'm going to share it with my listeners.
Oh, no, yeah. I share everything with my listeners. No, that's not the problem.
Yeah, well, but you actually help your listeners do the same thing.
Of course. That's why
we're mirrors of each other.
Exactly. That's why I'm in there doing this, because I'm authentic and I want people to understand that you can be yourself and be good and be fun and, you know, you can be responsible.
Everybody has an Oprah figure.
Oh, for sure.
And to surrender and let that, trust that part of us as our guide, as our main guide. That's what dreams are about. Dreams come from the Oprah figure.
Okay, now, guys over there have a question. I don't know if your voice, let me see if I can hear you. There's a couple of questions. Okay, shoot the first one. Do you listen to them when they're asking the question?
I can't hear.
Only, I think that only I can. Or does it come through the speaker? It doesn't, right?
Can you hear me?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There, you can hear?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you said everyone has a soul figure. I was wondering who is yours.
Who is my soul figure?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a book that took me 20 years called Solar Light, Lunar Light, Perspectives in Human Consciousness. That's on my website, solarlunar.com, a little plug. But what I've learned is that light is my soul guide. Not only solar light, but reflective light from the moon. And the cultures have been organized around the sun and the moon. And as on some of the other shows, usually they get genderized. The sun is usually considered in Western culture masculine and the moon feminine. But
the sun's
pardon me?
Because the sun is powerful?
Well, those are the cultural biases that have been said, that males are powerful and women aren't. Mm-hmm. But that's just a cultural distortion and bias.
Yeah.
Women have a sun goddess and a moon goddess, just like men have a sun god and a moon god. So my soul figure is this energy that I've taken the gender off about 25 years ago, and I'm listening to it tell me what to do and where to go almost all the time. And when I don't, I get bruised. So that solar-lunar dynamic, that energy, this twin energy dynamic, is in you. It's in everybody. It's a universal energy. It's a cosmological energy. If you go back to the Big Bang, that's when it started. And that energy is available right now to be a creative resource like that energy was then.
Sorry that I interrupt you, Howard, because remember that he probably missed that show. When we say solar lunar, technically we're talking about in the physical plane that we here on Earth, like the feminine and the masculine side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It would be technically that. It really isn't. It's the solar and the lunar. But we tend to call it, you know, when you meet somebody, you say, well, you have a really strong feminine side or strong this is what we will be talking about.
This is the, I was invited to a TED Talk. And the guy that invited me didn't know anything about it, and he was writing about the hero's journey, and he was doing the whole conference, and I kind of guided him into this solar lunar material, and he really got it. He wrote it back and said, I get this. And I said, you can't come, he's telling me, and Howard, we don't have room for you at the TED Talk, because too many people believe that the solar is masculine and the lunar is feminine.
Exactly.
And to really get out of this gender stamping is the beginning of a creative evolution. And like Cecilia's dream, there were two female figures, because one represents the solar ego and one represents the lunar unconscious. And to go with those two figures and go get married to them, it's called a sacred marriage. To have a sacred marriage between the conscious and the unconscious mind is the magic of the soul.
Okay, what other questions? Justin, do you have another question? Because I know that you guys were curious. Is there anything else you want to ask?
Yeah, we were wondering about like lucid dreaming. Do you do that?
I don't personally do it. I've worked with people that do. Do you?
No, like I've been able to realize that I'm dreaming in my dream, I can't control.
Well, if somebody is motivated to, there's some great books and work done actually out of Stanford and some other places. People can really get, it's the yoga of dreaming. Mm-hmm. The yogas have practiced lucid dreaming from the beginning, and it's real. This one of the beauty things of living in the Bay Area is this stuff is every place around here, and it takes the time and the commitment to do it and the courage to do it. It's scary to wake up in a dream and start playing in this reality at one level, and if it's your destiny, it's your destiny.
I've only been able to realize that I'm dreaming when I like have to wake myself up because it's like a scary dream or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
The phone rings inside of your dream and actually you have to wake up to pick it up or something like that. Yeah.
Just one thing about scary dreams, and most of us think, wake up, and I always hear people say, well, this is a crazy dream or a scary dream. It's only scary to the ego.
Yeah, exactly.
The unconscious, that's its home. And to understand, like, there's some dreams I've interpreted on my website. One had a lot to do with death, and death is the pre-state to rebirth. If you think it's scary, you're not going to go to the rebirth because something has to die for something to be reborn. So one of the dangers in working with unconscious and dream material is to judge it from an ego point of view.
Okay, now let me ask, I have a lot of questions, but I'm just like all over the place, but these are all the questions that I'm very curious about. We were talking about off the air, Howard, about Carlos Castaneda. I don't know if anybody of the audience read Carlos Castaneda, The Teachings of Don Juan. He wrote 10 other books. It's like an autobiography practically of his life. He's an anthropologist that studied in LA, and I think he's Peruvian or, you know, Latin American. And he went to Mexico to study the psychotropic, I don't know if you say like the psychotropic plants.
He started there.
Yeah.
But he studied shamanism, which doesn't always have to do with psychotropic plants.
Exactly. Yep. And he ran into this Toltec Indian shaman, which calls Don Juan. And Don Juan teaches him not only the plants, but how to break with the plants. He breaks through. Actually, he made him take the plant.
That's part of
to
it.
To break
oftentimes.
Through his sensitivity, because he was such a mind type, rational type of personality, that he gives the plants to like open his soul, because he was so mind focused.
Right.
And there's when all the teaching started. I love the books. I read them all. I just can't remember. I remember all of it because I think it was striking. Anyways, in a part of the book, he talks a lot about the dreams. Their work is a lot about the dreams, and they say that. If you really want to be all the way awake, all the way aware in your ordinary reality, which is the life you live, you know, 9 to 5, whatever, you have to learn how to manipulate your dreams or how to interpret them. So what Don Juan would do with Carlos Castaneda is he would induce him to get inside of his dream, understand all the things that he was seeing, which of course is this what we're talking about.
Right, we're talking about active imagination.
Exactly. And how to learn that all that was there to him to be able to live, a balanced life.
Right. So you touched something interesting. So Don Juan's a masculine figure. Carlos Castaneda was a masculine figure.
Yes.
They were twinned. Oprah is your Don Juan.
Oh, okay.
So you took that shamanic truth that is universal and has lived for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, maybe millions of years, and that touched you, and now you're living a shaman's life as a woman.
Wow, how interesting. Howard, this is really interesting.
It's called twinning. The biggest, when the Big Bang started, there were several things that happened. One is a principle of inflation. The next thing is matter and antimatter got born at the same moment. And it was for every billion bits of antimatter, there were 1,000,000,001 bits of matter. And that 1/1,000,000,000th of a bit of matter is what created the physical world.
That's amazing.
And eventually us.
So
but
we're
there
like really
is the antimatter twin. They go together. So if one over gets into matter and doesn't realize there's an invisible force there also, they're going to be over materialized, as we've talked about on your other shows about how people are addicted to materialism is because they're not willing to really open up to this other invisible force as a twin.
So you're really saying right here that there's more of a non-invisible reality than an invisible reality.
Well, let me add on the other part is that, so what got birthed was this inflation. Most people, when they have a creative idea, they get personally inflated. Their ego gets over-identified with it. They don't keep the twinning. That's what nature says, keep the twinning. And then there's black matter, and there's dark matter and dark energy. And that's the shadow, as we've talked about on the other shows. So if one knows that black energy and black matter on a physics level is 90% of the universe, 90 plus percent of the universe is invisible, and science knows absolutely nothing about it. They don't have a clue to what it means. And for anybody to have the arrogance, they think they know what's happening, is to deny the creation structure. To have the surrender and the humbleness, well, I know this, and there's a lot more to learn. Where can I learn it? I can learn it from my dreams. I can learn it from talking to my lover. I can learn it from the person driving the bus. That other person is the otherness that is the courage to expand.
I got you. Oh, we got to go to a break. I have so many questions. My goodness, it's like my head is going to explode. Are you? Well, I have a lot of questions, of course, Howard, and I'm very curious, but there's one here that I'm speaking for a lot of people that are curious about, and is you as a psychotherapist, can you cure somebody through their dreams? Manifesting.
You can help somebody, quote, cure themselves. You can't do anything to anybody. You can access their energy, their symbolic imagery, and you can help unearth it out of the darkness, and that can make a huge difference on somebody's healing. But I can't do anything to anybody, and I've studied most of the ways to do it to people. It doesn't work that way. Change yourself. This is anybody can help somebody. It doesn't have to be a therapist, because we're all therapists. You can't change anybody else. All you can do is behave differently in the moment. We're talking about change. Change happens if I behave differently, I get a different response. If I behave the same, I get the same response. So I'm regularly wanting to not believe my last thought, so that I can listen to the dreamer in me, my intuition that everybody has, that is a DNA reality, a visionary guide. It is the creative cells, and let this visionary part of me come through and talk or write or create or love or whatever it might be. So it's this letting go of the ego belief that you know something, so you can listen to yourself and or another. That's how healing occurs.
But Howard, the majority of the people, I mean, we were just talking off the air about TEDx or whatever. I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to criticize anybody, but
yeah, it's not a
we're talking about that people really don't even want to be responsible of who they truly are, what reality really
it
is.
That's right now. There's an amazing amount of people that are showing up and changing the world. It's phenomenal. I was at a dinner at a company I work in, and I asked this guy next to me, I said, how old are you? He said, 24. You're 24? Oh, my. You know, it's like all of you guys here. You know, I don't even know how old the people out there are.
Yeah, they're like 19.
There's no sweat. The world is changing with people like here. So, yeah, there's a bunch of people that are not going to change, but there's much more that are. So there's so many incredible people now that are revolutionizing the world. And we may not see it, but it's happening. It can't be stopped.
No, I do. I can't be stopped, and I agree with you, but I just don't think it's the half or the majority.
It doesn't matter. It takes one person can manifest. In alchemy, it's called multiplicatio. One person can multiply their universe if they're touching their soul and their truth and affect hundreds and thousands and millions.
That's true.
So hopefully I'm one, you're one, the people... Your listeners are obviously one, so it doesn't need numbers. It needs consciousness.
Okay, now you're just like triggering another question in me. What about the Mayan prophecy? They say that 2012, you know.
You're touching my favorite topic because it's the Mayan. I study this twin mythology, and I studied it for years and couldn't figure out what it meant to a contemporary person like myself. And then I read the Mayan story. And the Mayan story is about the twin heroes going down to the underworld and actually defeating the Lords of Death. And, however, they realized they were mortal and they couldn't defeat death. And they jumped into a fire. And one was born as the sun and one was born as the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the turning point in my life, is understanding, that was the click from all the other mythologies I read about the sun and the moon and the solar and the lunar and taking the gender off, all that stuff. And I believe that this mythology of the Mayans, this solar-lunar mythology, is the mythology of the future. So to me, the Mayan prophecy not only changed my life, but I feel understanding this myth of the solar-lunar is life-changing. That's my bias, but it changed my life, understanding this architecture of the twinning in men and women. And then if I have my twin side together, I can relate to your twin side.
Mm-hmm.
If I have this belief that this is male and that emotions and intuition are female, I can't really bond energetically with a woman or another man. If there's
true.
A gender split, you're going to be blocked by the gender split, not the energy. If you access the energy, and that's one of the beauties about dreams, it's the images to get you to the energy in the dreams. It's not the images that count as much as the liberation of the energy. And this Mayan myth is, to me, a turning point in the world civilization to bring back nature as the story and the imagery. And it lives in all of us because we are nature beings. And to live this solar-lunar imagery and this energy is liberating and creative. It is revolutionary.
I agree with you. Now, we have 4 more minutes left, and I would like you to respond to me. What do you think about the prophecy that the Mayans, how do you say this? Mayans predicted in 2012 that by the end of the year, everything was going to be, you know.
Well, again, death and rebirth.
Yeah.
Psychologically,
yeah, exactly.
It's like it doesn't mean in matter.
No, but they predicted that everything, there was going to be big nature.
Oh, there's
natural
been. Look at New York.
Catastrophe.
Look
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like it's happening.
Like actually, Bloomberg, to me, one of the tipping point moments was Bloomberg, who had been critical of Romney and Obama, said that because of the environmental truth here, I'm going to vote for Obama. Now, are people going to vote for alternative energy and really show up in their house and really be their version or not? That's what's going to make the individual difference. And I happen to work for a solar energy company, geostellar.com, incredible company. It's actually coming out to California next week or in a little month or so. You're going to be able to type in your address and you're going to get how much you can save by putting solar energy on your roof and have alternatives of different people to do it.
That's
now, are people going to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I hope,
yeah,
they're going to.
Yeah.
They are. People are.
Yeah,
this
I agree.
This is the world. Yeah, so.
More in the Bay Area. It's just unbelievable, this
yeah,
place.
Yeah, so, but this is a happening reality. And again, a lot of it is our conscious belief.